You're listening to WO Voices, a podcast series from Women in Optometry magazine. I'm Marjolyn Bielefeld, editor of Women in Optometry. We're delighted you can join us.
Welcome. We're here today with Dr. Caitlin Righetti. Dr. Righetti is an optometrist, a food blogger, and a graphic designer. And all those efforts come to play in the patient education materials she produces. Welcome, Dr. Righetti.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Like many people, I've been seeing your designs on LinkedIn and other places, and I really study them because these aren't doodles. They're full-on patient education materials. I was just looking at the sort of two-sided piece that you had created about ordering eyeglasses online. Those are chock full of information. Tell us a little bit about how this initiative started.
So all of this started a couple of years ago when I was coming back to work after my maternity leave. So I started doing a lot of revamping of our practice website. So just rewriting the content that was on there, kind of getting things into a doctor tone for our website. From there, kind of branched out into making some forms for our office. So my boss is big into myopia management. So it started with kind of redoing some forms there, creating a new brochure, and I really just enjoyed what I was doing with it, and I felt like I was pretty good at it. So I kind of branched out from there as far as figuring out how I could offer this service to other doctors, because just like my boss, there's a lot of doctors out there that have things that they want to market, things that they have in mind, they want to design, but they just either don't have the time to do it or don't have the ability to do it. Or don't have the right person to do it. So I feel like coming from a doctor's perspective, it's perfect because I can use my knowledge in patient care and implement that into the design work.
You have a sort of a Candyland inspired myopia management referral sheet, which I just thought was brilliant. It has that appeal to doctors who are trying to market and start out with a myopia management practice. How much of this do you use on kind of a daily basis? Is your office flooded with these materials?
So we definitely have a lot of content there that we can utilize. So we've got the myopia management information. I'm starting to specialize in dry eye. So we're going to be implementing more of the dry eye forms. There's also some custom stuff that I've done for our office that I don't even have on my website, such as like HIPAA forms, financial policy forms, some of the legal stuff. So we've just been kind of slowly converting all of our forms over to, you know, something a little more modern, a little more eye-catching, a little more patient-friendly. So especially our patient forms, we were able to get those into a fillable PDF onto our website, able to replace just our basic black and white forms. So that's been really great too.
Do patients notice?
I think they do. Yeah, I like to think they do.
I would think that they would too, because you know, most intake forms are just fairly ordinary, right? They look the same in every office that you go to, and yours, the ones that I've seen of yours that are on the website, are more interesting, a little more inviting.
Yeah, a little more user friendly. And then I've got a few too that are, you know, I've got just the basic intake forms, and I also have one that is specific for dry eye. So it's kind of nice that now we've got forms that are niched down for exactly what type of visit the patient's coming in for. So maybe we're not having to get repeat information.
What do you think the role is of design in patient education?
I think that it's huge. I think that in optometry, a lot of times we are relying on the conglomerates to do that job for us, or we just put a lot of emphasis on chair side discussion. So there's not a lot of investment, I guess, that goes into visual patient education, whether it's on our websites or whether it's something that's printed off and given to the patient. I mean, I can't tell you how many post-it notes I have written down with different treatment recommendations. So I just think that it's not utilized as much as it could be or should be, healthcare market in general, but especially in optometry.
And so as you started doing this, was there a moment when you said, I should make this available to others?
Yeah, when I started my business, it was actually mainly started out as a freelance writing business where I was doing a lot of website content creation. Mm-hmm. And the more I did that, the more I realized that's only so scalable because I can only write about astigmatism so many times without getting repetitive. So I was offering freelance stuff to other doctors, you know, even initially when I started doing this, but it just kind of started niching down to the design aspect because I realized that's something that's a lot more scalable. It's something that's a lot more unique, something that's more customizable for each office. And from there, some of the clients that I had and some of the mentors that I worked with suggested putting together templates. And so templates, I was kind of hesitant about that at first. I wanted to make sure that my designs were staying authentic and staying custom for each practice. But I was able to figure out a way to create these templates and still make them totally customizable. First, it was writing that was available, then it turned into design work. So it just kind of branched out a bit from there.
And then there's the food. You are a food blogger with
Cuts and Crumbles. Yep.
And that's so much fun. Does nutrition play a role in your conversations with patients?
Not necessarily. I would say the food blog kind of started as a hobby. A couple years into practice, I was looking for more of a creative outlet, and the food blog was perfect for me. I was interested in cooking, writing, photography, and I just decided, hey, you know, let me just go ahead and start a food blog. Give me a different outlet that I'm missing within optometry. But no, it didn't necessarily overlap with optometry until I started doing my design business. That's when I really started implementing things like SEO, digital marketing, everything that I learned with food blogging then started to become more cohesive with optometry at that point.
Interesting. Do you use AI at all?
I do not.
Uh-huh.
No. Okay. I don't believe in using AI because I just wanted to stay very, very authentic. There may be a role in the future that maybe mm-hmm. I could implement it, but I'm just hesitant about it because I just want to keep it authentic and accurate.
Tell me a little bit about your practice life. What you mentioned that you're interested in doing more dry eye. Is that an increasing need that you see?
It is, yeah. So I started scaling back with clinical care a couple of years ago. I just didn't find that I wasn't totally happy with being in clinic 5 days a week. So I started scaling back a bit, and I now only work one day a week. And within that one day, I just really wanted to focus on one specific niche because with primary care optometry, I just started to feel like I was jack of all trades, master of none. I was spinning too many plates at once. And I just wanted to be able to really focus on one target demographic, one treatment style, and just become very good at it. So that's what, you know, made me really strike into dry eye. I'm really interested in the aesthetic side of things. So it's something I just want to branch out for our office. Our office is very heavily equipped with new instruments and new technology, but the dry eye side is something we haven't really been able to harness yet. So I figured for me being there one day a week, that's kind of perfect for me to take that role as just that day we can focus on our dry eye patients.
That makes sense. Bringing something unique to the table there. And how much do you need to study a topic? Obviously, I know you're a clinician with experience, so you have that going for you, but you still want to get these things right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how much time goes into some of these patient education materials?
It can depend because some of the more basic things, you know, like creating a brochure on cataracts or diabetic retinopathy, that kind of stuff really just kind of rolls off my tongue. So it's easy to write about. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I don't specialize in as much, such as specialty contact lenses, vision therapy, those types of topics usually does involve a little bit more of a deep dive for me to make sure that I'm getting things right and make sure that I'm including everything that needs to be included. And that's when a lot of my clients come in handy because a lot of times they'll come to me with content that they already have, maybe a brochure they already use or a Word document that they've been using to educate their patients. So it kind of gives me more exposure to that information from the people who are doing it every day. So that's been great as far as just kind of teaching me things along the way, and me being able to take that information and just kind of revamp it into, you know, a prettier design.
Yeah. And I guess even though it's your voice and certainly your design, when you see what they're already using, you're able to maybe incorporate a little bit of that practitioner's voice as well.
I do my best to, yeah. And I always, anytime I make a design for an office, I always do a little bit of stalking for their website and their social media pages, trying to find pictures of their office just to get kind of a vibe of what they try to present to their patients, just to try and harness that to make sure that the design and the way that I'm speaking to their patients falls in line with their brand.
Mm-hmm. What are these practitioners saying to you? I mean, this must be a really nice sort of polished element to their patient education efforts.
Yeah, a lot of it has been kind of the same type of feedback of just very positive where, you know, this is something I've been needing for a long time. This is exactly what I was looking for. I just didn't know how to develop it or didn't have time to develop it. So a lot of times it's kind of funny because it's almost like a mind reading thing where they're like, yes, this is exactly what I was picturing. This is exactly what I needed.
And I think it's important for listeners too, to go to your website, and we'll include that, but I'll say it right now. It's drregettidesigns.com, and that's spelled drregettidesigns.com. This isn't nice font with stock art.
Some of it is drawings I have done. All of the images that I'm using are, if they're from Shutterstock or if they're from Canva, they're all royalty free. They're all legal to be used and dispensed. So I try and stay away from too much of something that looks like it's a stock photo and is just going to give the feel of that generic brochure, and something that looks like it's a little more either generated from a doctor or a true life image from, you know, a patient that's using an instrument or using drops.
Do these pieces go through lots of iterations, or do you kind of come to them with a vision of how you sort of want them to look?
A lot of times when I go to start a design, I can kind of picture it in my head. It's almost like looking at a landscape of trying to figure out exactly how I want the layout to be, what I want the colors to look like, what I want the different design aspects to be. So, I mean, obviously I don't have a background in graphic design and my background is in optometry, but I think that I kind of have the eye for, this is the content that I want to put together. This is how I want it to look. This is how I want the flow to go within the brochure. So as the patient opens it up, they're able to see all of these facts in the specific order, or maybe a referral form. How do I want it to be laid out to make it easier for the referring physician? Where do we want to put the QR code so that it's easy to scan? So it's just a lot of kind of picturing it in my mind before I even start the design, so that I know exactly what I'm looking to create.
Do you have a favorite piece that you've done so far?
Oh man. I feel like every new piece I make is my new favorite piece.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That online glasses ordering rack card, I think, is probably my current favorite, because that's something that we really need in the industry. And I think that the way that I laid it out with all of the different measurements that you need for a pair of glasses will really speak to patients to be able to look at that and say, oh, there's more to this than just my prescription and my PD measurement. There's so much that goes into an in-person measurement. And I really need to reconsider if I want to buy these online or not.
That was certainly the impression that I got just looking at it. It kind of felt like, this isn't as simple as it looks.
Right.
Yeah. You managed to present how complex it is without saying, my practice is better at this than someone else.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of chose the wording I did on it, so that, you know, a patient will see it and say, oh, I want to order glasses online. That's the information I need, so that gets it into their hands. And then once they start reading it, they're like, oh, okay, I see what this is. I see, you know, what they're trying to say. So it still gives information as far as, you know, how to order glasses online and what you're looking for, but it also just reiterates the importance of having it done in person and all the things that go into that. There's a lot of emphasis in optometry of just doing chairside discussions, but only 30% of the population are auditory learners. I am not an auditory learner, so I know from my perspective, if a doctor tells me something, I'm going to need to research it. I'm going to want to read about it. I need some type of reminder. I want to go into, you know, my patient record and read it again and just be reiterated everything that the doctor had told me. So I think that focusing on that written patient education piece is huge. I know that a lot of doctors are thinking, you know, brochures are kind of outdated. I think that maybe brochures are outdated in certain industries, but in healthcare, I don't think that they are, because a patient wants to actually leave with something that is tangible for them to be able to look at and say, okay, this is what the doctor recommended for me. You know, this is the treatment regimen. They wrote it down for me. They circled everything. My follow-up appointment is written down. I think that it's important to have that type of tangible piece of information for the patient, because just handing them a generic brochure that's not written from the doctor's point of view, or just referring them to our website, is a little bit dismissive. So giving them something that's truly written from the doctor's perspective and incorporates what they talked about in the chair, just to reiterate everything to them, I think is huge.
Right. And not only to the patient themselves, but also to, you know, a spouse or a parent or, you know, an adult child who you say, well, the doctor said something, but I can't remember exactly.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, having that stuff, it's still important, of course, to have all of our information on our website and to stock our social media pages with information. But having that physical piece that then has the QR code that links back to your media presence, mm-hmm. is going to be the big thing, because then, you know, it does avoid Dr. Google. And it just creates kind of this internal feedback loop where, you know, I've got this physical information from them and now I know where to go for more information. The brochure is not going to have everything on it, but now the website can be stocked with even more information for me.
When you started doing this, did you imagine that it would become sort of a business for you?
When I first started, I was thinking, oh, this is, you know, something that I could start offering to some of our other local doctors, doctors that I know. And then I quickly realized, like, oh, I don't have to be limited there. I can, you know, offer this across the country. So once I started realizing, you know, this is something that really could be utilized, all across the country and all different types of practices, that's when it really kind of kicked into gear for me. And so mm-hmm. now it's really just trying to figure out how I can connect with those doctors and make them, you know, be able to see the things that I have available and know mm-hmm. that I'm available for custom work, and just getting myself out there as hopefully what I'm doing, everyone is finding beneficial for their practices.
That's terrific. Yeah. Well, and there's a lot there. We've only covered a few of the specifics, but anyone who wants to see more of the entire menu can go to drraghettidesigns.com. Dr. Raghetti, when people go to the website, what should they expect?
So when you go to my website, there is going to be on the main page, it's broken down into different areas where you will see maybe it's disease or optical intake forms, fillable PDFs. So you can look there to kind of choose a template. If there's an existing template there that already fits what you have in mind for your office. If it fits very well and it's really what you need, all you really have to do is upload your logo. When you submit your order for that piece, you just put in some notes as far as, you know, your office phone number, your address, things like that that need to be included on the design. When you submit your order, then I will email you usually within a couple of days, sometimes within a couple of minutes, depending on the time frame, with a proof of your design. Once you take a look at that and say, hey, yeah, this looks great, then I go ahead and get it ordered for you. I do drop shipping, so it's just printed professionally, sent right to your office or right to your home. If you see a template on there that's like, okay, this is kind of what I want, but I need maybe something a little bit more specific, I do offer semi-custom designs and then also fully custom designs. So if you see a template that you just need to be a little bit more customized than what you're already seeing, you can just send me an email and we work together to edit that for you. Same thing, I'll send you a proof, and once you approve it, then we will have it printed and sent to you. If it's something that you really just need a totally custom design, you know, maybe you've got something already in your office that you want to have redone, or maybe you have no content at all and you're just like, hey, I need a referral pad, or I need, you know, information on macular degeneration, whatever it is, you can just reach out to me. We work together to design it, whether it's a brochure, rack card, really whatever you can dream up. And we put that together, and then custom designs, you can either have it print and sent to you, or I can deliver the PDF to you if you want to have a copy of that and print it yourself. So there's a few different ways to do it, but really I'm really open and I'm really flexible as far as whatever is easiest for the doctor. Try and make the process as streamlined as possible for you, because I know we're all super busy. So just start with the templates, and if you're not finding what you need, then just send me an email and we'll figure it out.
That's a cool business model, and it's great that you come with the skills and the experience and the knowledge to sort of make this happen for doctors across the country. Yeah. Dr. Righetti, thank you so much for being with us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. I hope you join us again on WO Voices. If you'd like to be a guest on the series, please send us an email at wovoicesonline@gmail.com, through our website at womeninoptometry.com, through Facebook at WO Magazine, or through Instagram at womenods. See you next time.